The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, 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 golden.
Bay's Golden Days, I'm Marcus Boucher, back alongside my boy Alan Flores, back again to bring you another Straight Cash podcast for week 15 of the 2018 season, where we're going to go ahead and break down every single game by the point spread, against the spread, hit the over-unders, give your upsets of the week, and give your locks of the week on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Yes, you heard me correctly, we got games all weekend long, no more college football, who cares about these hoot-ass bowls, the New Mexico Hawaii Bowl, who gives a damn? We got NFL action on Saturday, NFL action on Sunday, and NFL action on Monday. Hell, we already had a Thursday night game, so that's four games this week. We got some NFL action, and the Bay's Golden Days podcast is going to be here to break down every single game, just like we do every single week, with the Oakland Raiders taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Seattle Seahawks, the Sunday night matchup between the Eagles and the Los Angeles Rams before we move to Monday night football, where we got the Carolina Panthers fighting for their playoff lives against the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees. Man, oh man, what a week of football we got in store for you. So let's not waste any more time. And Randy, let these people know what time it is.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right, Randy. It's time for the Straight Cash Podcast right here on the Bay's Golden Days Network. And you guys know the routine by now. We're starting off in the Bay Area with the Oakland Raiders, who just beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, Alan Flores. And yes, indeed, like we said it last week on the podcast, the Bay's Golden Days crew was sitting live in the black hole. And I just want to say, man, oh man, what a game it was. What an experience it was. The last time the Pittsburgh Steelers come to Oakland and they're leaving on a four-game losing streak. Yes, Big Ben is now 0-4 in his lifetime in the Oakland Coliseum, and I'm pretty sure Alan Flores is 0-4 in his lifetime at the Oakland Coliseum. But hey, we can't complain too much. It was voted NFL Game of the Week. It was going back and forth. I mean, this was one jam-packed action game, and that's exactly what we told you would happen right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. We both picked the Raiders plus the 10 points because we knew the Steelers coming to the West Coast. We knew they would struggle, and that's exactly what happened, but shit, I can't even sit here and say I didn't think the Raiders were going to win after the season we had this year. So shout out my boy Derek Carr. That's my quarterback. He's got, what, like 5, 6, 7 games in a row now. He hasn't even thrown an interception. Shout out my boy Gerrion Conley on the defense side of the ball. Second year rookie. I like to call him my little redshirt rookie. I've been talking him up all year on the Raiders Recap podcast. He damn near shut out Antonio Brown in this game. I mean, Antonio was pretty quiet, Alan. I don't know where he's at. Juju had a huge game. Almost got that hook and ladder, that flea flicker at the end. But man, oh man, what a game it was. Luckily, we didn't have to face Big Ben Roethlisberger for a full four quarters because he was tearing up that defense. But when he went out, the Raiders were able to get some turnovers against Dobbs, and that was really the key to the Raiders getting the win this game. The second half turnovers, scoring late, Derek Carr being clutch as always. And what have I told you guys? Next to Matthew Stafford, since 2015, when Derek Carr came in the league, he's number two in the league in fourth quarter comebacks. Yeah, let's pop the clutch in the car, baby. What I tell you, that's my motherfucking quarterback, and that's a win for the Raider Nation this weekend. Al, what do you got to say for yourself?
You know, I got to say, it was a good fucking game. Another thing I have to say is that $31 million we gave to that cocksucking kicker we have could have went to Le'Veon Bell for all I care. This guy just completely ruined it, but the game was pretty fucking good. I could not be mad. I mean, like Marcus said, we knew this was going to happen. Steelers can't play for shit on the West Coast. I could have told you that they wouldn't have fucking won by 3 for all I know. They probably would have won by 2. Juju is the fucking man. That's all I got to say. Our running game was terrible. Roethlisberger, fuck you and those goddamn painkillers, because I know the rumor that I've heard was, oh, those painkillers take a while to get in. Well, guess what? You let Josh Dobbs fucking job the game. But you know what? It's whatever. It's the Oakland Raiders. It's not going to affect us in the playoffs unless the Ravens win and we lose. But other than that, we're We're still in the lead. We're still in contending playoffs. Let's go. Fuck that shit.
And you're still 0-4 in Oakland. Sorry, I had to sneak that in there one more time for you, Alan. Just to let you know, as long as the Raiders are around, your lifetime, the Steelers will never win in Oakland. So, hey, I can talk about how bad the season's been for the Raiders, but, hey, at least that's one thing to key on. Obviously, this great rivalry between the Raiders and the Steelers go back and forth since the beginning of time, but we gave you the full preview last week, gave you our quick little review. Let's go ahead and hop into the Raiders matchup from this week, where they will take on another opponent from that AFC North division. They will be traveling to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals, where the Bengals are a 3-point home favorite with Jeff Driscoll at quarterback. Yes, let me repeat that. Jeff fucking Driscoll. We all know the redheaded rifle went down. He took with him AJ Green. This Bengals team is banged up. We talked about it, what, probably 6-7 weeks now in a row with the Bengals were 5-2, and I said it's a fix, it's a hoax, it's nothing you can believe in. Now look at them now, sitting at 5-8, and I honestly think the Raiders could get an upset. I don't think they need to get another upset win because we're just fucking ourselves out of draft positions, but I honestly do think we could get the upset victory over the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals are only really a 3-point favorite because they are at home, so they get the 3 points. So this is essentially a pick'em game, and I'm picking the Raiders this week. I think they'll win straight up the way that Derek Carr's been playing lately. Like I said, defense side of the ball, Garon Conley's been playing great, so he'll be able to lock up Tyler Boyd in that one-on-one matchup. We could be getting Maurice Hurst back this week. I am kind of questionable with our offensive line, with KO and Gabe Jackson being questionable this week, going against that front seven and Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, a lot of monsters right there for that Cincinnati defense, but one monster they're missing is going to be Vontaze Burfict this weekend, so I think the Raiders should be able to run all over the Bengals with their mix of Doug Martin, Jalen Rashard, and DeAndre Washington. I mean, honestly, Jeff Driscoll, who wants to bet on backup quarterbacks to begin with? Why not take the Raiders? Why not take the plus points? Even if they lose for a field goal, you still cover. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Raiders this weekend on the road to, you know what it is, win back-to-back games for the first time all season, baby.
Well, I think this is going to be the first time ever of me doing this podcast with you where we go 2 weeks in a row voting for the Raiders, because, I mean, I think the only one word we need is Driscoll. Driscoll, that's all we need to hear. Like, who the fuck is really going to choose him over the Raiders? I know I said the Raiders are like the new Browns of the season, but Driscoll's the new fucking Mark Sanchez of the season to me, minus the butt fumble. This guy's just completely terrible. Tyler Boyd, you know, he might actually have a few fucking touchdowns because, I mean, like Marcus said, Roethlisberger tore this defense up. This defense is still, I'm sorry, Marcus, but trash. I mean, even, I don't know, who's your mama, the tight end for the Bengals? He might even get two tugs. But I mean, still, I think that Derek Carr can just go straight into drive and just let Jared Cook go in. Doug Martin, he might have a good game. Who knows? I mean, you're saying Vontaze Burfict isn't playing. He did not participate, but who knows what he's going to do. I don't even think he's that much of a pain in the ass anymore for anyone who's on the offense. I think he's losing it after Juju laid him the fuck out. But let's just stop while we're ahead here, and let's just go with the Raiders. +3, baby.
Hey, yes, I'm right there with you, +3, and I'm actually glad you bring up that you called the Oakland Raiders the new Browns of the league, because it makes perfect sense, because the Browns always play the Steelers well, right? They tied them, they always beat them, they keep it with three. Somehow, some way, the Raiders always play the Steelers well, so hey, I'll take it, because the Browns are looking like they're coming up right now, and it's going to be a year or two, but the Raiders will be there. We got our franchise quarterback, we got Derek Carr, and we're both rolling with DC this weekend, +3 against Cincinnati. Now let's go ahead and flip over to the other side of the bay, where we got the San Francisco Niners taking on the Seattle Seahawks, where the 49ers pulled off a surprising victory last week, beat the Broncos 20-14, while the Seattle Seahawks absolutely put a beating on the Minnesota Vikings 21-7. We both told you to take the Seahawks last week, and I'm pretty sure we're both going to tell you to take the Seahawks again this week, because what? It was only like a week or two ago when the Seahawks beat the 49ers 43-16. They were a 10-point favorite, and me and Alan said, take them. Take them double digits. They've been killing the Niners for what seems like the past decade. I'm pretty sure they've won like 10 years in a row, something like that. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I don't understand how this spread went down from 6.5 to 5.5. I've even seen it as low as 3.5 on some sites. It makes no sense for me. People are betting on the 49ers at home with Nick Mullins. I just don't understand it. I think this is probably my biggest lock of the week. I think Russell Wilson's going to come back, have a huge game again like he did 2 weeks ago. He only threw the ball 10, 11 times, but threw for damn near 300 yards. And he might be getting Doug Baldwin back this week. He's questionable to return. He is missing Rashard Penny in the backfield, the running back I've been talking about a lot. But Carson's going to be able to run over his defense. Davis is going to be able to run over his defense. I honestly just don't think that this 49ers defense can slow down this run game. And I don't think Nick Mullins can stay up the tack with Russell Wilson and this offense. Because even Russell Wilson takes his deep shots at Tyler Lockett. Yeah, I don't think Nick Mullins can match that with Marquise Goodwin, Dante Pettis. Hell, they're both banged up this week. They're both questionable. And then Matt Breida is questionable as well. Too many offensive playmakers on the 49ers banged up with questionable injuries. Nick Mullins, Russell Wilson. This one's pretty easy for me. I'm taking Russell Wilson and the points. Give me that 5.5 points against the Niners. As long as this stays under a touchdown, I'll take it at 6.5. I'll take it at 6. I'll take it at anything. I got the Seahawks beating the Niners on the road by a touchdown this weekend, Al.
Okay, never mind the fact that it's 5.5. I mean, of course, I'm taking the Seahawks minus 5.5. But can we talk about this over-under at 44.5? Like you said, they beat them 43-16, and this fucking over-under is 44. What, do you think that because they're going to be playing in the Santa Clara faggot-ass Levi's Stadium that the Seahawks aren't going to put up no more than 21 points? Are you guys kidding me? If anything, I call that they're going to have probably 35-36 points because I will give some type of credit for the fucking home advantage. And whatever, the Niners beat the fucking Broncos. You know what? I was surprised. But I was only surprised that Nick Mullins didn't get fucking swallowed by Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. I mean, like I said before in this last couple weeks, this fucking pressure is amazing, but their DBs are fucked. Chris Harris Jr. is not even playing, so I mean, who else do they really have? So, of course, we thought that the Denver was going to win. Unfortunately, they did not come through for us. But as far as this week, I don't think we have to speak nothing more as far as the Seahawks getting at least 35 points in my fucking book. Put it in the fucking books for me. 44.5 is complete disrespect for Russell Wilson and this offense.
Yeah, especially against a 49ers defense that we're not talking about an elite defense. I know DeForest Buckner has been playing well, but opposite him, Solomon Thomas, another first-round draft pick, hasn't been playing well. I mean, the 49ers are just not on that same level as the Seattle Seahawks right now. I don't understand this spread at all, but I'm not going to complain. I'm taking the Seahawks by 5.5, and I'm right there with you, Al. I'm taking the over 44.5 points. You said it. The Seahawks scored 43 last time, and if you're worried about the Seahawks going on the road, last time the Seattle Seahawks came to San Francisco last year, they covered a 7-point spread and won 24-13. So I think they easily get it done this weekend. Like I said, this is one of my locks of the week, honestly. I definitely like the Seahawks to take out the 49ers in Santa Clara, minus 5.5. And then let's take a step backwards. As we talked about the Bay Area teams playing on Sunday, let's go ahead and talk about the Saturday games, Al, because like I said, college football, there's only a couple of hoot-ass bowls on. Why not get some NFL action in there for the start of fantasy football playoffs? You know it's that time of the year when we start getting some Saturday games, and the first one to kick us off will be the Houston Texans taking on the New York Jets. The Jets will be hosting the Texans in New York, and they are a 6.5-point home underdog with the over-under set at 41.5. Houston Texans just coming off a 9-game winning streak, finally lost to the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck last week, 21-24 in a huge game with playoff implications in the AFC South. I'm looking for them to bounce back because they need to get a win to try to stay out one game ahead of the Colts this weekend, so they definitely need to take out the Jets. I haven't been impressed with Sam Darnold all year. You guys have heard my thoughts on the Jets. Yeah, I think they have a couple good defensive players, Jamal Adams, but not a good enough defense to slow down all the weapons that the Houston Texans have, especially the way Lamar Miller has been running the ball lately. DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, goddamn, you got to get all these pieces in there. Hell, even get Demaryius Thompson in there as well. Kiki Coté, he's questionable, so if he plays, that's another weapon. I just think this Texans defense, like I say every week, is going to get after the quarterback. Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt, go ahead and feast on a rookie. I got no problem taking the Texans this week, minus 6.5.
Yes, I do love the 6.5. The 6.5 is actually perfect for me. I think if it was maybe 7.5, I'd be kind of scared. But, I mean, again, this is the Jets. Even though they did fuck us when we did take the Bills after the Bills whooped them 41-10 last time, and all of a sudden they just shit the bed and let the Jets win. But this ain't the Bills. This is the Houston Texans. Unfortunately, they did have their winning streak snap, but, I mean, of course, if you're going to have your winning streak snap, it's going to be by Andrew Luck or someone else with an elite quarterback rating. But let's just go ahead and just not go any farther with this. I'm just going to take this Texans defense to get maybe a pick six, a couple of interceptions, maybe two fumbles. I'm guaranteeing one fumble. But you know what? I don't think I need to go that far. 6.5 to the Texans. Let's just roll on with that.
Yeah, 6.5 is right in that money zone for me. It's not 7.5. It's not more than a touchdown. All you need is a touchdown to win. And Houston is 5-2 against the spread as a road favorite under head coach Bill O'Brien. And while New York has lost its last three games at home by an average margin of 22 points, Houston has won 4 straight on the road. So go ahead and take the road favorite in this one and take the Texans minus 6.5 points over the Jets this weekend.
And don't be fooled by this 41.5 over under because I think the Texans can put up points, but the Jets is going to have a really hard time. So don't be surprised if this game ends up being 28-0 Texans and they don't even cover that 41. I would take the under on that, people.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Al. I like the under also on that 41.5, especially, like you said, that Texans defense shutting down this Jets offense. And then we never know what the weather is going to be like in the middle of December in New York. Those conditions are not going to be well, and we'll get more into that later when we start talking about Matthew Stafford going on his trip to Buffalo. But let's go ahead and keep it moving now as we get to our second Saturday game of the week. We got the Cleveland Browns taking on the Denver Broncos. We just told you Denver Broncos lost to the 49ers last week 20-14, while the Cleveland Browns had a huge victory over the Carolina Panthers last week 26-20, and they are a 3.5 point underdog on the road in Denver. Now, I know Mile High is kind of a tough place to play for rookies. You're playing against a pass rush where you got Bradley Chubb and you got Von Miller, but damn, let's go ahead and talk about this Browns team that has been doing great things with Baker Mayfield, great things with Nick Chubb, and if there's one thing you can do against this Denver Broncos defense is you can run against them. Hell, apparently you can pull out tight ends on them too, because we saw what George Kittle did last week against the fucking Broncos. So look for David Njoku to have a big week. Look for Jarvis Landry to have a big week. Like Alan said, Chris Harris is out. That's their number one top corner. On the flip side, the Cleveland Browns are going to be missing Denzel Ward. That's their number one corner. So Cortland Sutton can have a big game. So honestly, this might be kind of a high scoring game. I like the over at 44 with both teams' number one corners out. And honestly, I just think the Browns are going to put up like 30 points on the Broncos. This defense is not the same. I can see Baker Mayfield having a couple touchdowns. I can easily see Chubb having a couple touchdowns. And next thing you know, we're hovering around that 28-point mark. Yeah, we'll see what Case Keenum can do. I don't like to bet on him to put up big points. But Saturday night, primetime at home, I think he puts up a decent 14, maybe 21 points. Hell, maybe Philip Lindsay gets more of the points than Case Keenum does to begin with. But I just think the Browns get up early, and then they keep feeding Chubb the rock. And then Chubb has a better day than his cousin, Bradley Chubb, on the opposite side of the ball. It's a family reunion, and we got the goddamn Cleveland Browns winning in Denver for the first time since 1991. Yes, the Browns haven't beaten the Broncos since 1991, so I think for the first time in my lifetime, shit, might be the first time in your lifetime too, Al, the Browns are going to get a victory over the Broncos.
Well, we've seen the Browns get what? What are they? 5-7. I mean, who would have thought that they'd be winning games? So, of course, I feel like they're going to beat the Denver Broncos, breaking this fucking, what is this, like a 30-year streak over here? Jesus Christ. So, and you brought up a point that I wanted to talk about them being in the Mile High Club. I don't think that really matters as far as Cleveland's case, because Cleveland also is cold weather. They're also used to that. So I feel like this is going to be nothing to the Browns. I feel like Baker Mayfield is actually going to have a good game in the Mile High Club, because he's going to be flinging that fucking ball, and Jarvis Landry is going to burn everybody. Look for Njoku to have a couple of touchdowns as well. I think that him, Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry, even their fucking rookie Callaway, I feel like they're all going to have good games. Watch Baker Mayfield even run for a touchdown. This game is going to be a nice shootout, looking at 44.5. You know, like Marcus said, I do see the Browns putting up 30, but I don't see Keenum putting up any type of numbers. Only rely on Lindsay to break out for maybe a touchdown or two, but that 44.5 scares me. But I got confidence that the Browns do put up 30 or more, and all the Broncos really need to do is put up 14 at that point. So get those garbage points in, Broncos, and let's get that 44.5 on the over.
Yeah, it is kind of worrisome. The Denver Broncos last week playing without their top wideout, Emmanuel Sanders, on Sunday. Denver only averaged like 4.5 yards per pass attempt against the 49ers. So they'll need to average at least going down the field more than that this weekend. And like I said, they'll have the opportunities with the number one corner for the Cleveland Browns, Denzel Ward, being out. But at the end of the day, I like the Cleveland Browns. +3.5 points. You're getting that hook on top of the field goal. And Denver is 0-6 against the spread since the start of the 2016 season, when coming off a game in which the team trailed by 14 or more points at halftime. So they got embarrassed last week against the 49ers. And I look for them to get embarrassed again this weekend against the Cleveland Browns. +3.5 over the Broncos. And then let's go ahead and keep it moving now to what should be, honestly, one of the biggest matchups of the week, because it has a lot of playoff implications in the NFC North. Now, you might be shaking your head and saying, what are you talking about? The Bears are 9-4, the Packers are 5-7, but Aaron Rodgers has got to stay alive if he want any playoff implications at all. He's got to get a win over the Bears this week, and he did it the first week of the season when the Green Bay Packers were able to win at home 24-23 in what was a great game. Now he will bounce back after winning last week against the Falcons 34-20. Aaron Rodgers looked like he's finally got this offense going on his watch, not Mike McCarthy's watch. It looks like maybe he's calling plays now, but he looked great last week, putting up 34 points, while the Bears last week put on probably the best performance of the week in Sunday Night Football when they held the Los Angeles Rams to only 6 points. So you're thinking, right, if they held the Rams to 6 points, they should be able to hold Aaron Rodgers, right? But are the Bears going to show up? Because the week before, they let up 30 to the New York Giants. So this is where I'm scratching my head at, where I think it's tough, because earlier in the year, I'm saying anytime you give me Aaron Rodgers plus the points, I'm going to take them. But this is Khalil Mack now with the Bears. And so I'm getting my boy Khalil Mack less than a touchdown. Honestly, if I'm betting this game, I might stay money line. I probably want to stay away from this game because the Green Bay Packers, I think they won like 5 or 6 straight against the Bears. I think they won 9 out of 10. And the only time the Bears beat the Packers is when Aaron Rodgers wasn't even playing that game. I think it was like Matt Flynn or somebody. So that doesn't even fucking count in my book. I mean, it's just too sketchy to give Aaron Rodgers this many points. I know it's on the road, outdoors, against the Chicago Bears, and his defense has been playing phenomenal. I like the Bears on the money line. But I just can't trust Aaron Rodgers getting those points, Al.
All right, listen to me, people. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of talking about Aaron Rodgers. We know what kind of quarterback he is. We know what kind of quarterback he was. But after what I saw with the Bears and the Rams, I am completely sold that this Bears defense is the best defense this year by far. This should be no debate. I mean, look at what the fuck they did to the Rams. Look, we all know Aaron Rodgers, what he can do. We all know. But I think ultimately the Rams have a way more powered offense than the Packers this season. And for the fact that the Bears only let up 6 points on them, when you got the second best running back, allegedly the second best running back since Ezekiel Elliott is above him in yards, this offense is just too high powered to be not getting no more than 6 points. I was so fucking surprised. I didn't even watch this game. I'm looking based off of fantasy. So when I look at 5.5 against the Packers, I got to take it. Because, again, the Packers defense ain't even that worthy right now. I can see Trubisky fucking throwing maybe another 6 touchdowns. Who knows? All I know is that the Bears are going to cover this for sure. The 45.5, I'm not even going to take the over. I'm honestly going to be under on this. Because I don't know if Aaron Rodgers can even fucking get past this defense. I mean, I don't know if it's disrespect to compare him and Goff. But Goff has been looking pretty fucking good this season, too. I mean, he's got his whole offense helping him. And for him, this whole game has just changed my whole thought about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, you know what? Maybe we need to come to the conclusion that he might be losing it. And I don't think it's going to get any better with this Bears defense. And look at their season. Look how the order is. They win, they lose a couple. They win, then they lose a couple. Well, what'd they do the last time? They won. So guess what? I'm pretty sure they might lose a couple. So you know what? I'm going to stop with this rant. I love the Bears defense. They're looking fucking phenomenal. I'm looking for them to cover that 5.5 and looking for Khalil Mack to possibly break another collarbone. Who knows?
See, this is where I kind of disagree going back and forth with you. I don't think Aaron Rodgers lost at all. He's, what, thrown 20-something touchdowns this year, only one interception. We saw what he did last week without Mike McCarthy. And in his career, he's 17-4 straight up and 15-6 against the spread in 13 career games against the Bears. And the Green Bay Packers are 9-2 against the spread in road games played against the Bears since the start of the 2008 season. But you know what the Bears haven't had since the start of the 2008 season? Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, Eddie Jackson, Danny Trevathan, this whole entire defense. So that's why I'm with you. I definitely think the Bears win this game. But 5.5, 6.5 with Aaron Rodgers, I don't care what it is. I think he keeps it within that field goal range. So I definitely like the Bears on the money line this week. But I just don't know if I could bet taking the points against Aaron Rodgers.
Look, you got to listen to me. I'm sorry. I get it. I'm not trying to disrespect this guy, Gay Rodgers, okay? I'm not. But mainly what I'm talking about is his clutch performance. We've seen how clutch he's been in the end of games, at the end of fucking first halves, all these Hail Marys. We haven't seen Aaron Rodgers really pull that. He could have done that against the Patriots, but he didn't. He fucked it up. I mean, I'm not going to put it all on him, but you know what? He's the quarterback. He makes the plays. He's rumored that he called the plays anyway. But the fact is, I don't think he's as clutch as he has been the past few years. I just don't see it happening, and I don't see it getting any better against this defense.
Yeah, it should be one hell of a matchup. Like we said, we both think the Bears are going to win, but honestly, this is a game that I don't want to bet on. Allen seems like he's going to bet his fucking house on this game at this point because he likes the Chicago Bears defense so much. So we definitely like the Bears in this one, but I'm not betting against Aaron Rodgers. I'm telling you my advice. I'm just staying away from this game. This is kind of the thing I'm looking at when we talk about the Colts and the Cowboys too, because the Cowboys are obviously the better team, but you're going against Andrew Luck. So am I going to bet against Andrew Luck? I don't know. We'll talk about that game when we get there. Hell, look at that. We're already there. We're on the Cowboys versus the Colts. Right onto the next page. Didn't even have to look at that one because the Colts are favored by 3 points. And like I just said, I don't know who to pick in this game. This is another head-scratching game where the Colts, they've been on fire. They've won 4 straight home games by an average of 16.5 points. They've been absolutely dominant at home playing in that dome. Andrew Luck has looked phenomenal. We've talked about him being comeback player of the year. It's between him or Adrian Peterson in my eyes. And now with Adrian Peterson playing with a cast of mischiefs, he might not even get the opportunity. So the door is wide open for Andrew Luck, especially if he can get into the playoffs with this 7-6 record. We mentioned last week they beat the Houston Texans 24-21, so that opened the door for the AFC South wide open, while the Dallas Cowboys got a huge division victory over the Philadelphia Eagles 29-23, and we told you the Cowboys needed to win this game to separate themselves in the NFC East, so now they have a three game lead now in the NFC East, while the Colts, I think they need to win this game more than the Cowboys do, as crazy as it seems, the Cowboys sitting there in first place, but the Colts are behind one game, so it's pretty much a must win. They do have T.Y. Hilton questionable. I think he's gonna play, and man, I honestly just don't know who to take. This is probably a game where I'm probably gonna stay away from betting wise. I might take the Cowboys in the points because I think the Cowboys have the better overall talent. They got a better running back, they got better linebackers, they got better corners, they got better wide receivers. Hell, you could pretty much add it all up there. They got better surrounding talent, but they don't have a better quarterback. They have Andrew Luck for the Colts. And I think in football, when one guy can control so much of a game, hell, we see point spreads jump a touchdown or two when a quarterback gets called out. Andrew Luck has been playing phenomenal, so I don't know if I want to bet against Andrew Luck and the Colts. And pretty much what's another pick'em game, because we got the home team favored by 3 points once again. This is pretty much a pick'em game. Over-under set at 47. I think both these offenses can put up points, so I like the over in this one. But Al, this is another coin flip for me. Who do you got between the Cowboys and the Colts?
I think you said it right on the dot. I fully agree with the Cowboys having the better talent, and it's mainly coming from that defense, because that defense, shit, they shutting me up. They're making me fucking not say fuck the Cowboys. All I'm saying is fuck Dak now, because I'm looking at this defense, and their linebackers, I don't know how to say his name right, Van Der Esch, this guy, he's a blessing. If Sean Lee wasn't playing and they got him, that's a fucking blessing. You fucking Dallas fans should be fucking glad that you guys got him. Ezekiel Elliott, he's probably going to have so much fun with the Colts defense. He's probably going to toy with these people. And Dak fucking Prescott. Let me fucking go on a little rant with this guy. If he didn't have Amari Cooper, he would be just as dusty as Driscoll and fucking Kessler and Mark Sanchez and whoever fucking filled in, McCown. This guy cannot throw a fucking deep ball. He is lucky that he just gives little 10-yard douches and Amari Cooper just breaks tackles. He's fucking lucky as fuck that Eagles DB wasn't paying attention and that ball ricocheted right into Amari's hands. He's fucking lucky that that happened. But with that being said, this week, I do need to start saying their defense is starting to look pretty fucking hot. I mean, I'm with you with that, Mark. But ultimately, I think the Cowboys can take him out on the road by 3 because it's 3. If it was 3.5, I might have to take the Andrew Luck and the Colts. But this week, I might have to stop going on the little bad fuck you rant with the Cowboys. I'll still say fuck Dak, but I think I'm going to go with that 3. And the 47, oh yeah, I'm going with the over on the 47.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. This might just be more betting on the points than the actual team in this one. You're just protecting yourself with the +3 because, like we say, in games that could be this close, you got one team sitting at 8-5 in first place. You got another team sitting at 7-6 in second place. This might just come down to who has the ball last. Maybe Adam Vinatieri scrolls out there, kicks a field goal, wins by 2-3 points. But, hey, you would still cover on the spread with the Cowboys. The way the Cowboys have been playing and the way that they beat the Saints on Thursday Night Football, they should win this game. They have more talent, but it's the Dallas Cowboys. But hey, if we got to put our money on it, why not take dumb boys, huh? How about them Cowboys? Shit, we've been riding them fucking 5-6 weeks in a row. Why not keep on riding them and keep on winning you some money right here on the Bays Golden Days? Let's keep it moving now to a game that is probably the national no one wants to watch this game of the week. It's the Detroit Lions taking on the Buffalo Bills. The Bills, like we said, lost to the Jets somehow last week, 23-27, while the Detroit Lions actually got a win. They beat the Cardinals last week 17-3, but it's the goddamn Cardinals. So what much can you expect? We talked about it for weeks now. Detroit Lions, they're still missing Kerryon Johnson. Matthew Stafford is now dealing with a back injury, and now he's got to go into the cold, into a goddamn blizzard in Buffalo somewhere, where Detroit is absolutely terrible in December. They're 10-22 against the spread in December games since the start of 2011. Buffalo has won four straight games against the Lions, and Detroit's only four wins against the spread over the 13 December road games since 2011 were all in warm weather. It was in Arizona, it was in Tampa Bay, and it was in New Orleans twice. Matthew Stafford cannot play outside, and he cannot play outside in the cold, so I don't care who the hell is the quarterback, Josh Allen, who's playing running back, if LeSean McCoy's in or out, he's probably going to be out this week, but I don't care. Give me the Bills, and give me that defense to shut down Matthew Stafford in the cold, where he's going to shrivel up and lose a game once again to the Buffalo Bills.
You know, I almost went 2 weeks in a row just straight going Bills plus 2.5, but I'll give them a little ramp because you know why? Josh Allen is surprising the living fuck out of me, and it's not because of his throwing performance. It's because of his running performance. The past 3 weeks, this guy has fucking ran for almost 400 yards pretty much. I mean, fucking 3 weeks ago, 99 yards. The 2 weeks ago, 135 yards. And now last week, he had 101 yards. Okay, so maybe I'm a little exaggerating on 400 yards, but still, as a quarterback, for you to get that many fucking yards, who are you, Lamar Jackson? Are you trying to be fucking, is that what we're going to be doing now? Are we going to be following the new Michael Vick hype? Is Lamar Jackson the new Michael Vick? So now we all got to see all these quarterbacks doing it. I don't know, but the thing that I want to say is that the Buffalo Bills is definitely going to win this, especially if it's snowing. Stafford is not going to do jack shit in that fucking weather. The Buffalo Bills are already fucking used to it. I don't know what Josh Allen's going to do in the snow. I've never seen him play in the snow, but all he has to do is fucking run. And if he runs, then they're going to be pretty fucking good. 38.5. Be low all you want. I'll still take the under on that. I don't think they're going to go even over 30. But if you got the Bills at 2.5, I'll definitely take that one.
Yeah, definitely take the Bills by 2.5. And like we said, with these New York games, with these East Coast games coming up in the middle of December, it's going to be crucial to check the weather report Sunday morning. If it's snowing in Buffalo, if it's snowing all throughout New York, yeah, go ahead and take the unders this weekend because it should be some sloppy ball. And then especially the colder it gets, the worse Matthew Stafford plays. So go ahead and lock in the Buffalo Bills minus 2.5 this week. Then let's keep it moving now to probably the biggest upset of the week last week was the Miami Dolphins beating the New England Patriots. Or should we say, was it surprising? Because we talked about it right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast where we said Tom Brady struggles every year in Miami. He takes one shit a season, and it always happens to be down in Miami. We don't know why, but I'm pretty sure Tom Brady, the only team he has a losing record to, is playing the Dolphins in Miami. Everybody else he's able to beat. But goddamn, are they beating him at his own tricks? Did they got Spygate set up? Did they got all the sluts down there, down on the shore, just distracting him? I mean, I don't know what the stories are for Tom Brady, and I don't know what the story is for the Miami Dolphins because they're still somehow 7-6. They still somehow have a winning record, and I just don't understand it at all. Playing against the Minnesota Vikings this weekend, they gave the Vikings minus 8 points at home. The Dolphins have a better record. They should not be getting this many goddamn points. Give me the Vikings like minus 4.5, 5. I would bet on the Vikings all day, all week, no doubt about it. But 8 points? You want the Vikings to win by more than a touchdown? This whole entire week is just fucked up with spreads. I don't understand what Vegas is doing at all. Like I've been saying, I guess they lost some money, so now they're trying to win it back with all these hoopty-ass spreads. I definitely like the Vikings to win this game on the money line. Fuck it. I might just take the Vikings minus 8 because I don't want to bet on the Dolphins. I might just look for the Vikings to get a 21-0 skunk shutout and send a message and say, hey, we're still coming for a playoff spot.
You know, this is a tough one only because the 8. Like, I can almost guarantee you guys that this spread is probably going to get lower throughout the week as it gets, you know, when Saturday comes, it'll probably be 7. Sunday comes, I bet you it'll probably be 6.5. But, you know, even though I still might have to take the Dolphins because, honestly, I got to talk about their defense. Their defense, look what they did to Tom Brady. He didn't have a Tom Brady game. He threw for, like, almost 300 yards, but usually he throws for over 300 yards, if not 400, against the Dolphins. Even though he does struggle against the Dolphins, he still puts up the fantasy numbers. But I did not see any of those fantasy numbers last week. So if you expect Cousins to have those fantasy numbers and fucking get a performance out of it, I don't think he's going to have a good enough performance to win by 8. Marcus, I am truly surprised that you said that they would win minus 8, because I am way against that. I don't think the Dolphins will win. I just don't think they're going to lose by 8.
Well, let me say this. While the Dolphins are 6-1 at home this year, the Dolphins have lost 5 straight road games by an average of 16.5 points. So when they leave Miami, obviously without dealing with the Miami weather, now they're going up to Minnesota. I know it's in a dome now, but now you got to deal with the skull chance and some fucking Vikings coming after you. And if I had to pick a war between Vikings and Dolphins, I'm going fucking dolphin fishing, and I'm getting the Vikings to eat me up some dolphins this week, and I'm looking for a big shutout. Give me that 21-point blowout. I don't give a fuck, Al. Give me the Vikings minus 8.
Hey, man, you go ahead. You do you, Glenn Coco. But you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to have to disagree. I think the Dolphins are going to cover. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're going to cover. Minus 8 is just too much for me. Even if it's 6.5, I think it's still too much for me. I think the Dolphins have more to play for than the Vikings, because you know what? I don't think the Vikings are really hungry. They're not. I mean, what they did with the Seahawks, their defense is still clicking a little bit. I thought the Seahawks were going to put up hella numbers. I thought they're definitely going to put up more than 21. It took them a while to get that 21. But, I mean, yeah, this game, maybe you want to stay away from this game. But, honestly, I think the Dolphins are going to cover.
What do you think about the over-under? Set at 44, you mentioned the Vikings defense did look pretty good until, what, the fourth quarter where the Seahawks just ran away from that game. You talked about the Dolphins defense a little bit. I think this is going to be a 21-0 game, so I definitely like the under. Do you think both defenses keep it low enough to go under that 44-point spread?
I absolutely do think that. I mean, even though they have Thielen and Diggs, who are, I think, that are being pretty healthy this week coming in, I still don't think that's going to be enough. You know, Dalvin Cook, they're trying to say that he needs to get a lot more work in, which I do believe. You know, I mean, I'm only speaking as a fantasy owner, but still, he is still your top starting running back. You know what? Scratch that. What you need to do is split carries, because you know what? I think they really treating the Tay train like Derrick Henry. I mean, every time I see Murray run, he does run pretty hard still. This guy is hard to bring down. But again, you got Dalvin Cook. This guy can catch balls and fucking receive as a, you know, normal receiving running back. I think that he still has a lot of asset despite his injury. But still, I mean, I don't think it's going to be enough to get that 44. I don't think the Dolphins are even going to score enough. Because, I mean, as much as I'm talking about this Dolphins defense, this Dolphins offense ain't even up to par still.
Dolphins are trash. Dolphins on the road are trash. I don't want nothing to do with the Dolphins. Al, I'm taking the Vikings in a big blowout. We both like the Vikings on the money line this week. Allen's playing it smart with the points. But I got too much money to make to be smart this weekend, so I'm taking the Vikings for a blowout. Look for a 21-point blowout. Look for it to be a skunk. I'm taking the Vikings this weekend, and we're moving on to the next game just like that, where we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Baltimore Ravens and another inflated point spread. I know the Baltimore Ravens have been playing great, but they are now favored by 8 points, another 8-point spread. I'm telling you, like Alan said, the lines are probably going to move a lot this weekend, going up and down. If you can get any of these spreads that are 8 down at 6.5, jump on them automatically, because this weekend it's either two shitty teams playing against each other or just a blowout spread where you can't even really find good value to bet on this week. It's completely ridiculous. But one thing that will be ridiculous for Baltimore Ravens fans is how there's still even a conversation about whether Joe Flacco is going to start this week or not, because there is news that he will be back, but Harbaugh said that Lamar Jackson will still be starting. Lamar did get his first loss of the season, first loss of his career last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, and honestly, he played pretty impressive, only lost 27-24. It was a back and forth game that he had a chance to win late, while the Tampa Bay Buccaneers somehow kept it close with the New Orleans Saints, and they ended up losing 28-14, so we got the Saints to cover the spread and win you some money. But the Buccaneers somehow kept it close enough, kept it scary enough, long enough, where it made no sense at all. I honestly think this is just going to be a bad game for Jameis Winston this week. He's going against his Baltimore Ravens defense. I think they're going to shut down his Buccaneers offense. They're missing DeSean Jackson, and then they're arguably missing one of their only good, healthy players left on the defense side of the ball with Jason Pierre-Paul banged up. He's questionable with a knee injury. I mean, I just don't think the Buccaneers have enough left on their team this late into the season. They've been falling apart all year. I'll stick with the Baltimore Ravens as they're trying to make a playoff push. I look for the Baltimore Ravens defense to come up big and contain Jameis Winston and his Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense.
Well, you know what? I agree with Lamar Jackson. He had a phenomenal game despite his loss. I think he did pretty good against the Chiefs, but let's not forget the Chiefs defense. You know, they got holes all over the place. I don't think that they're even good at all. And I think that they're going to be the same thing with the Buccaneers. I think the Buccaneers' defense is pretty much on the same thing. Only difference is that the Buccaneers' offense ain't the Chiefs' offense. So I definitely am taking the Ravens at minus 8. You thought the last game that we talked about was going to be a blowout. I think this might be a blowout unless the fucking Buccaneers wants to pull some second-half miracle like they always do and fuck us on the cover because they just love putting up points at the last minute. But I'm still got enough trust. Despite this fucking situation I got between the Steelers and our division, as much as I want to see them fucking lose, I got to be realistic, and I know that they're not going to lose because it's the Buccaneers. And, you know, Buccaneers, they were scary against the Saints because they fucking dogged us in week one against the Saints. They just blew the Saints out. But, you know, I got to go with my gut on this one. I think the Baltimore Ravens defense, I think they can hold them off. I don't think Jameis Winston's going to be even doing much. I don't even think Fitzpatrick's going to be doing much if they decide to fucking put him in the second half. So let's not go and waste more time on this. I like them by 8, and I do like the over on 47.
Yeah, the over-under, I'm going back and forth because I think the Ravens could just shut out the Buccaneers, kind of like I said, what the Vikings could do for the Dolphins. So in my opinion, it might be smarter to go with the under because maybe Lamar Jackson puts up points, but if he only put up 24 against his Chiefs defense, that was pretty bad. I know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is pretty bad also, but I don't see the Buccaneers putting up anywhere close to the amount of points that the Chiefs had. So maybe it's a 24-13 game, something like that, but I'm looking for more of a shutout from this Ravens defense. Like you said, minus 8 points. They got to win big. And whoever's playing quarterback, it doesn't matter because Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston, they both turn the ball over. And you can't do that against this Baltimore Ravens defense. And they've done it 31 times this year. That's the most in the NFL. Yeah, so look for Jameis Winston to throw a couple pick sixes. Look for the Baltimore Ravens to win big this weekend, minus 8 points. And let's go ahead and keep it moving out to our next game of the week where we got the Tennessee Titans taking on the New York Giants. And another spread that doesn't make sense, to be honest. I know the New York Giants won last week against the Washington Redskins 40-16, but it was goddamn Mark Sanchez and Josh Johnson playing quarterback. I mean, no shit they were going to win. And now, without Odell Beckham, he's still out with a quad injury. You're going to tell me that they're going to beat the Tennessee Titans, one of the most unpredictable teams in the league this year, that are still playoff eligible, sitting with a 7-6 record. They did win last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars 30-9, but these were two big blowout wins against two shitty teams, honestly, in the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Washington Redskins. So who knows what to expect from these two teams. But honestly, I've seen more good from the Tennessee Titans this year when they beat the Cowboys on the Monday night game. They've been coming up big this year. And Vegas has them losing in this game. What did I say? When Vegas picks the Titans to lose, they usually win. When they pick them to win, they usually lose. If you're going to give me the Titans plus 2.5 points this weekend on the road against the Giants, I might just have to stick with Marcus Mariota and an offense that seems like they finally figured out we got to give the ball to fucking Derrick Henry because he scored every time he touched the fucking ball last week. I mean, it's not fucking rocket science. You're giving the ball more to Deion Lewis, who was a goddamn career backup for the Patriots. Feed Derrick Henry and feed him this weekend against the New York Giants minus 2.5 points.
Yeah, this is a head scratcher for me because I don't understand how I really don't understand the spread. 2.5. Like, why couldn't you just make it at 2? Why is it gotta be 2.5? Go fuck yourself. How about that? I mean, with Odell Beckham out, this is a huge advantage for the Titans defense. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what the fuck to say about the Titans defense or offense. I really don't. This team is just inconsistent. Marcus, I'm just going to go with you and fucking say if the Vegas is going to take them to lose, I'm going to fucking take them to win. I'm just sick of this shit. The Titans is just this one team that I really don't know. I can't give you guys a fucking expertise opinion. All I could say is that feed Derrick Henry. I mean, I don't even have to say that. Marcus said it already. But we've been saying that all fucking season. How are you going to give Deion Lewis, someone who was mixing in with fucking James White and Burkhead and fucking two other running backs that Belichick loves to split around, and you give him the main job? I mean, it doesn't make sense. What did Derrick Henry do? Is there a fucking Kareem Hunt-looking video that we don't know about? Is he on some drugs that you guys have been keeping a straight secret on? Whatever it is, fix it and fucking let Derrick go fucking rabid. Because after what I seen him do against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who fucking says that he can't do that against the Giants defense, Mark?
Yeah, he should be able to run all over him. Maybe Barkley will be able to run over this Titans defense. But like you said, without Odell Beckham, they should just stack the box. Put 8 guys in a box. Force Eli Manning to beat you passing the ball. Don't let Barkley run the ball at all. And, hey, the Tennessee Titans have won 4 of the last 5 matchup against the Giants. So, hey, let's look for them to stay hot and take the Tennessee Titans this week. Plus 2.5 points on the road. And let's keep on moving now to probably our second national. Nobody wants to watch this game of the week. I mean, this might be worse than the first one because, like I said, the Washington Redskins, now without Mark Sanchez, without Colt McCoy, without Kirk Cousins, without fucking everybody who ever played. Hell, Joe Theismann, bring him fucking back. quarterback at this point. They got Josh Johnson starting at quarterback, a guy who literally they picked up off the streets last week. He was in practice maybe 1-2 days, had to play on Sunday, and then he said, hey, I had to learn my teammate's name by playing Madden this week. That's how bad it was. He doesn't even know the goddamn people on his team. He won't have Jordan Reed to play with him this weekend. I mean, honestly, you want my advice for this game? Don't bet on it. You got the Jaguars favored by 7 points. The Jaguars have been a disappointment all year long, but this defense, they should be able to shut down Josh Johnson. So if you're holding a gun to my head and saying I got to bet on this game, I'm going to take the Jaguars -7. If I'm going to really put money on it, I'm probably just taking the Jaguars on the money line because I don't trust Blake Bortles to win any game by a touchdown. But at the end of the day, the Jacksonville Jaguars should be able to stomp out the Washington Redskins. And Josh Johnson playing quarterback, are you for real? The over-under is set at 36. This could be another defensive shutout game. Hell, this might be a 13-10 total. I don't fucking know. But at the end of the day, I'm taking the Jaguars on the money line.
Well, I got to disagree with you on one thing. If I had a gun to my head, I'd probably have to swallow my pride and be like, well, just shoot me.
It's my time,
okay? It's my time to shine. Let God tell me that I did the right or wrong thing. I mean, I don't know what the fuck you want me to do about this game. This game is the number one fuck show of the fucking week, okay? And with that being said, I'm going to have to make my decision. I'm going to have to go with the fucking Redskins because I don't understand how you think that Kessler and this offense can fucking dog this Redskins defense. I mean, I think this defense is good enough to stop a second-string quarterback. I don't know how they're going to do against Fournette, but the thing is, this whole game, this is all going to be about stacking the box. I don't think AP is going to have a good game, and I don't even know if Fournette's going to have a good game because they can't trust both quarterbacks. What the fuck are you going to do? I mean, Jesus Christ, this is worse than watching two hobos fuck, honestly. This is just god-awful. And the most disrespectful thing that I notice is that the over-under is 36. You got the Buffalo Bills that's in the snow, fucking 38.5, and that's how trash that these two teams are? Is that how trash this game is that you go with 36 points? I mean, is it disrespectful that I even say take the under as well?
It's disrespectful to bet on this game. I know we're all degenerate gamblers. Obviously, we're all listening to this podcast, giving out free picks and shit. But my advice, Alan's advice, don't watch this game. Don't bet on this game. Don't have anything to do with this fucking game. It's the Jaguars versus the Redskins. Oh, man. Ugh. Backup quarterbacks. This has got to be the worst game of the week. So let's just leave it at that and just keep on moving on to our next matchup of the week where we got the Arizona Cardinals taking on the Atlanta Falcons. And this is another point spread that I'm scratching my head on because we got one team is 3-10 and one team that's 4-9, but it's an 8.5 point spread. Yes, I know the Atlanta Falcons were a huge disappointment this year. So what makes you think that I should bet on a huge disappointment -8.5 points? Now, I know I've gone on some big point spreads this week. The Vikings -8, the Ravens -8. Hell, even the Rams are a double-digit favorite this week I'm probably going to take. But this is one I'm probably going to shy away from because honestly, like I said, it's a 3-10 team versus a 4-9 team. This should not be an 8.5 point spread. I'm going to take the Falcons on the money line because I still think Matt Ryan against his defense should be able to put up points. But who knows what the hell the Arizona Cardinals are going to do. They're going to put up 3 points last week against the Detroit Lions. But the week before that, they covered against the Green Bay Packers. Man, oh man, what is going on with games this week and betting on them? Like I said, I might just have to stick with money line bets this week. Take the Falcons on the money line. I guess if you're betting point spreads, maybe take the Cardinals +8. But after losing by 14 last week against the Lions, I can't take them plus the points. Can you, Al?
No, honestly, I can't. But you know what? I don't know, Marcus. I really don't. This game is probably the most confusing game. I think the Cardinals could fucking cover 8.5 just because I think that's too much for the Falcons due to the fact that the Falcons have not been up to their performance par at all that we probably would have seen them on paper. And the Cardinals, I mean, yeah, they fucking covered against the Packers, but they didn't cover against Detroit. So I'm just going to say they're inconsistent by a game. So if they cover against the Packers and then they didn't cover against the Lions, then they're going to cover against the Falcons. That's the way I'm going to go by it. And I'm definitely taking that under on 44 because I don't think the Cardinals are going to do anything at all. I mean, we look at David Johnson. This guy has been a huge letdown this season. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but ever since that injury, it kind of killed him. Look for number 29 to start getting most of the touches because he might actually have 2 touchdowns, maybe 1 or 2 actually against the Falcons. But, I mean, I'm going to have to go with the Cardinals, honestly, +8.5. Even just having a hook on there even makes it even worse. But in my opinion, this is a game that not even touch. But there's a lot of games this week that we shouldn't even touch, but we got to touch them anyway because it's the Bay's Golden Days and we got to make some fucking money. So if we're going to be degenerate gamblers, I'm going to be a degenerate gambler myself and just go on my high horse and just say Arizona Cardinals, baby.
Hey, take the points. It's not a bad bet. Like I said, I'm taking the Falcons on the money line this weekend. I don't care if it's minus 300 odds, minus 400 odds. Throw it on the back end of a parlay. Or hell, even if you tease all these huge point spreads, if you're able to get this down to the Falcons by 1.5, 2.5, I think that's a great bet right there if you can get the Falcons to win. So it might be a teaser week. It might be a money line week. Like I said, Vegas is mad they lost money this year, so they're trying to get it back at the last week of the seasons. But, hey, we're going to have to see what happens this week. Falcons and the Cardinals, another game that you probably just don't want to bet on and you probably honestly don't want to watch. But let's finally get to a game that everybody's going to want to watch this week because it could be a potential AFC championship preview. We got the New England Patriots going into Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Of course, we started off with the show of reminding Allen that he's 0-4 in his career in Oakland, just like Big Ben Roethlisberger. But, hey, it's okay because the Patriots lost last week to the Dolphins, too. So both of arguably the top two teams in the AFC coming off losses, looking to bounce back and get a W. The point spreads have been up and down all week. The over-under has been up and down all week. Still waiting for James Conner to come out to really get a set point spread. But I've been seeing the Patriots -2.5. I've been seeing the Steelers +3 points. It's really back and forth. And honestly, that's going to make a big factor in where I'm betting in this game. Because if I can get the Patriots at 2.5, it might be the smarter bet. But if you get the Steelers +3, that might be the smarter bet. So it's really going to come down of preference of who you want to bet on and who's going to have the ball last and who's going to have the last opportunity to score last. But before I give you my official pick, Allen, I know you have tons of history with the Patriots and Tom Brady, so I want your full breakdown of this game, and I want you to tell me who's going to win this matchup between the Patriots and the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's like you said. It just depends on the spread. I mean, it's been moving up and down. I honestly wouldn't know, but if the Patriots were at -2.5, you know damn well I got to take them. I mean, sure, everyone knows I'm a Steeler fan, but this ain't about me being a Steeler fan. This is about business. It's about making money, and you got to make horrible decisions in order to make money. And I'm sorry that this is a horrible decision, but I might have to take the Patriots. But it being at the Steelers, it also depends if, you know, that +3. If it's the +3 on the Steelers, I still might have to take that too because we are at home. We are playing against the Patriots. And we're going to be fucking hungry and motivated. Stephen Ridley's looking to have a big game because I guess he's had some animosity towards the Patriots, which is fine with me. You got some animosity? Show it. Prove it. Let's see how hungry you are because after what I seen against the Raiders in our running game, it was complete shit. We look like some fucking Pop Warner running backs against a high school team, and it just looked god-awful. So if Stephen Ridley is going to go in with that mentality, then goddammit, you better have that mentality. As far as James Conner, I don't think he's going to be playing again. You know, this leg contusion slash ankle has been fucking bothering him, which is fine with me. Get your rest up, kid. But I'd be glad if you came back in. This is not just some ordinary game. This is the fucking Patriots. This will be an AFC championship game because we always fucking meet each other there. It's going to be glorifying. It's going to be fucking great. But, you know, this is a tough one for me. Honestly, I can't give you a solid pick. I would have to take the Patriots just because it's the Patriots, and I know that our record against them is just complete shit, even if we're at home. So, honestly, I mean, I don't even know, Marcus. Whatever spread it is, we're going to have to go based off of that. It's not really showing us much, and I know it's been going up and down, back and forth, sideways, zestways. So, honestly, by Sunday morning, I'm going to have to find out. But as far as right now, I'll take the Patriots.
Hey, I can't fault you for going against your team in this matchup. As much as I hate Tom Brady, as much as you hate Tom Brady, as much as Oakland hates Tom Brady, the only place that loves him is Sarah High and all those goddamn rich guys and fucking Barry Bonds and all of them. But forget about them. No one cares about Tom Brady in the Bay Area except for them. But one thing that Tom Brady does care about, apparently, is beating the Pittsburgh Steelers because he has beat the Steelers in 5 straight games. And Tom Brady is now 11-2 straight up and 10-2-1 against the spread in his career when facing the Steelers. Now, Allen, you mentioned it. The Steelers are at home. It seems like Mike Tomlin always seems to rally the troops and get them to play good at home. We obviously saw what happened last week on the road. But, I mean, yeah, like you said, the point spread is going to decide it. 2.5, where I'm seeing it most places, I'm probably going to take the Patriots. If it gets to three and a half, you get that hook with the Steelers, it might be better to take the Steelers. Honestly, this one I think is just too close to call. I might just want to hit the over. The over should be around 50, 51, 52. But like we said, that line's been moving too because we don't know about these injuries. Honestly, I just think the Patriots offense is one of their best offenses that Tom Brady has ever had in his career. Sonny Michel, yeah, he's getting fucking scavenged by James Devlin at the goal line for fucking touchdowns left and right. Hell, he had a 50-yard rush last week that got called back because James Devlin was holding on him. So fuck James Devlin. Let Sonny Michel eat. They got Josh Gordon. Gronkowski's finally healthy. I mean, it just seems like everything's going right for the Patriots while the Steelers are dealing with injuries and James Conner. They're not being able to rush the ball. Their defense has kind of fell apart the last couple weeks, to be honest. So I might just have to ride with the hot hand and ride with Tom Brady.
That's the one thing I forgot to mention. Our defense is completely fucking just... just poo, man. I don't know what the fuck is going on. They're like, look what the fuck they did to us last week. They teased us. This is the ultimate tease ever. It's 4th and 6. You got about what? Fucking 20 seconds, 21 seconds left, and you guys let some fucking unknown tight end grab a goddamn touchdown to win the game pretty much? Oh my God, like this, I can't go any more farther with this defense because I'm just going to go on forever. This defense is always letting me down. Ask anyone who I'm watching the games with. I always call this shit 3rd and 13. Oh, gee, look at that fucking middle. It's more fucking open than a goddamn prostitute's fucking legs. I mean, Jesus Christ. But the one thing that I want to mention to y'all is Roethlisberger and his ribs. They say he's healthy, but all it takes is one big hit to those ribs to put Josh Dobbs in and fuck this whole thing up for me, and we end up fucking losing the playoff battle against the Ravens.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a different matchup if the Steelers are able to stay healthy, get past the Ravens in the playoffs, and if they were to meet in the AFC Championship game, I might be having some different thoughts about it, but where we are in week 15 of the season right now with Big Ben dealing with those rib injuries, with James Conner most likely not to play, I think I'm just going to have to stick with Tom Brady and his 5 straight wins against the Steelers. I mean, shit, the New England Patriots are 7-0 against the spread under head coach Bill Belichick when coming off a divisional loss as a favorite of 6 or more points. You don't see the Patriots lose too many back-to-back games, but you don't see the Steelers lose too many back-to-back games either. So at the end of the day, it's back-to-back-to-back. So at the end of the day, this should be a good matchup, but just because of where the teams are in this specific week, I'm going to have to roll with Tom Brady. And the 2.5 points and the 3 points, if it gets above that, hell, check in with our Twitters. Well, we'll be in Reno putting down some bets this Sunday, and we'll let you know where the action is. But at the end of the day, this should just be one hell of a matchup. And like I said, a potential AFC Championship preview. Then let's go ahead and move on to our Sunday night game of the week, where we got the Philadelphia Eagles and the LA Rams. The Rams will be hosting the Eagles as an 11-point favorite. And this spread shot up. It was about 6, 7, 8 points, and then Carson Wentz got rolled out, shot up to 11 points with the over-under set at 52. Well, the Los Angeles Rams, I don't know if their offense can put up over 52 this week after getting absolutely shut out last week against the Bears. I don't know if the Bears' defense is just really, really that good, or if they found the recipe for success to shut down this Rams' offense. So the Eagles will try to look to copy the Bears this week and try to slow them down, but we talked about this Philadelphia Eagles' defense. It's not the same as just a year ago with that Super Bowl caliber defense, where this game's going to be interesting because you think, okay, it's a backup quarterback. Yeah, who cares? They should blow him out. But it's Nick Foles.
Thank you.
This guy just won the Super Bowl last year. So honestly, the way Carson Wentz has been playing, I know he's been hit or miss, up and down, coming back from his injuries. He's injured again. But Nick Foles, honestly, like, the spread could have just stayed the same. So that's why I don't really understand them getting so many more points, because we know what Nick Foles can do. Hell, Nick Foles went on a fucking fantastic playoff run and ended up winning the fucking Super Bowl, for God's sake. So, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of sketched out by this Rams and 11-point spread. And we've said it. The Rams, yeah, they're 11-2 this year, but they're 5-6-2 against the spread. They have a losing record against the spread. That double-digit spread kind of scares me. Yeah, you might be thinking, why? It's just a backup quarterback, but it's Nick Foles. This isn't any regular backup quarterback, so I'm definitely taking the Rams on the money line this week. I think it'll be a high-scoring game because, hell, maybe Nick Foles can get this offense going, just setting up certain plays. Zach Ertz has been doing phenomenal this year. He might break the record for most catches by a tight end in the season. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Rams ultimately win, But I don't know if it's by that 11 points, Al. The Eagles have been so hit or miss this year, you don't really know what to expect from them. But they have been keeping games close in most of the games. I mean, shit, they did get blown out by the fucking Saints a couple weeks ago, 48-7. But most of their losses are within double digits. So do you trust the Rams to blow out Nick Foles and the Eagles by double digits this week?
Okay, well, I got a question for you. Okay. All right, all right. What have we said about the Rams all season?
They're good, just not that good against the spread.
Thank you. That's all you needed to say. 11 fucking points? Like, really? We get it. The Eagles are not the Super Bowl team that they were. But this is just pure, utter disrespect to Nick Foles. Nick Foles just does not get the credit he fucking deserves. Like, look, we know Carson Wentz is a good quarterback, but the guy can't stay healthy. I admire his fucking pride on probably – he's probably been playing through that injury for a while now. But you can't fucking just dog Nick Foles like that. And by 11 points, the Rams suck at the spread. And for them to even be by 11, like Vegas, what the fuck are you guys up to? I want to know. I want to know what you guys know. You probably just bullshitting like a motherfucker. And you know what? If I see a bunch of people in line in fucking Reno this weekend taking the Rams, I'm definitely taking the Eagles. Like, I'm going to take their money instead. Fuck that. So, I don't even want to go. I mean, I guess I do, because as far as this over-under, I'm definitely taking the under on that. I don't think this game is going to be 52 at all. This will not be a fucking Rams-Chiefs game. This is probably going to be a 21-21 game or something like that. I don't see this game getting any higher than 52. I think it's disrespect. Take the Rams on the money line, but do not take them on that minus 11.
Yeah, like I've been saying all podcast long, this might be a money line week, or it could be a teaser week. If you get this down to the Rams minus 5, the Rams minus 6, then yeah, I'd say it's a pretty good bet. But 11? No, I just can't do that with the way the Rams haven't been covering double-digit spreads all year long. There's a reason why Vegas sets the spread this big, so that they can try to sucker people into taking their money. And no, it's not going to be us this weekend. We're going to be betting on the Rams on the money line. But hey, if you want to take the points, go ahead and roll the dice with the Eagles, with the former Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles taking over. Yeah, at this point, he might just play better than Carson Wentz. He might keep this game close. It should be a good game on Sunday Night Football, but not as good as they probably thought in the beginning of the year when they scheduled this matchup, because the Eagles have truly been a disappointment. But hey, the Rams looking to get back on track after getting absolutely demolished against the Bears last week. We'd like them to get the win, especially on that money line. And then let's go ahead and wrap up this podcast with our last game of the week. We got the Monday Night Delight, the NFC South showdown between the New Orleans Saints and the Carolina Panthers. And the Carolina Panthers have honestly fell apart. I mean, what the hell happened? The whole first half of the season, I felt like I was making money on the Panthers left and right. And now all of a sudden, they're fucking losing to the Browns, losing to the Buccaneers, losing to the Seahawks, losing to fucking Detroit, losing to Pittsburgh. They've lost fucking 5 in a row. Where the hell has this come from? I know Cam Newton is dealing with some shoulder injuries, but god damn it, you got fucking Christian McCaffrey going off left and right. He's dumping the ball off fucking every opportunity that he gets. I mean, this is fucking another spread where the Saints are favored by 6.5. You think the Saints are going to blitz them, but they got to go outside in December. Drew Brees doesn't play great on grass, and it's a division matchup. I mean, honestly, what is going on with these games this week? It shouldn't be this fucking hard to make bets. Honestly, this is another one. I might take the Saints on the money line, but I might take the Panthers plus the points at home. I mean, it seems like the home dog getting more than a touchdown. 6.5, where I think the Saints can still do it. If this spread moves over a touchdown, I'm definitely going to take the Panthers plus the points. But 6.5 right now, I mean, shit, the Saints should be able to do it, right, Al?
I think they can do it. I mean, I just love how you pointed out that they lost their last 5 games and just so happened to what team made them start that losing streak? The Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, I got something to fucking say good about our Steelers right now. But you know what? This ain't the Steelers podcast part. This is the time where we talk about Monday Night Football. And I do like the Saints at 6.5. I do like it. I mean, why not? Like you said, the Panthers have been falling apart. Sure, it's at home. But the Saints, it's still the Saints. I mean, despite Michael Thomas having a slow couple weeks, and even Drew Brees had a slow week last week. I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago. Either way, I see him bouncing back. I don't see him folding this coming up Monday. The 52.5, I can see that happening. That's definitely going to happen. Look for DJ Moore for maybe a receiving touchdown and a nice little reverse touchdown. Look for everyone to score a touchdown on the Saints. I mean, shit, even look for Greg Olsen to have a couple touchdowns. Psych. Sorry, guys. I just wanted to pull that Stephen A. Smith. I thought that shit was fucking hilarious, so I wanted to pull it. All right, back to getting back to business. But, yeah, let's take the Saints at -6.5, and I'll take that over on the 52.5.
Yeah, I like the over of over 52.5 as well. I mean, it seems like these Saints and Panthers game are always high scoring, and the over has actually hit 7 out of 9 games in which Carolina has played against New Orleans since the start of the 2014 season. The only thing that worries me, Al, is of the 7 times that these two teams have played since 2015, 5 of those games were decided by 5 points. But in those last 5 games, they weren't facing MVP Drew Brees. And so that's why I think I might just have to roll with the Saints -6.5. Like I said, if that spread gets to 7, 7.5, 8 points, I'm taking the Panthers plus the points in a division matchup. But I think at the end of the day, the Saints should be able to win this game by a touchdown and lock up a bye week in the playoffs.
Well, I like how you brought that up on their last few matchups. But, I mean, I honestly think that this is the best offense that Drew Brees has ever had. He's got 2 running backs. I mean, everyone thought that Mark Ingram was finished, but I think he proved everyone wrong. So he has 2 running backs that are still solid. He has a shitload of receivers, a fucking rookie who needs to bounce back from that goose egg last week, Michael Thomas, who needs to start fucking getting better. I don't know why he's starting to decrease his value, but you know what? I think he'll bounce back. And look for their fucking defense. I don't even think their defense has even gotten – I mean, is this a defense better than their Super Bowl win, do you think?
I mean, I guess at certain pieces, obviously with Marshawn Lattimore on the outside, but the Saints have been so up and down with defense where they look like they're starting to put things together, but then they're not. But one thing I will point out is they are the number one rushing defense in the NFL. So if they do have any chance of slow down Christian McCaffrey, I would just stack the box and make Cam Newton try to throw the ball deep with that hurt shoulder.
Well, I don't think they're going to stop Christian McCaffrey because they can stack the box all they want. But ultimately, all Cam Newton needs to do is just fucking throw a heater to fucking dump off to Christian McCaffrey, and then he'll just go for another 20 yards. But yeah, that shoulder is even a better argument that the Saints could win this by 6.5 because Cam Newton, I hate the way he throws, honestly. Every time I see him throw, it's just, I don't get it. I feel like he just throws and prays that he gets to the guy. I don't even think he looks at him. He puts in everything in this throw. So I don't think he's going to have a very spectacular game. He might have a decent game. Christian McCaffrey can just bail him out. Even DJ Moore. DJ Moore is like Amari Cooper as far as getting dump offs for 10 yards and making him go for 18 or 20. So, I mean, yeah, I'll still stick with this over, but yeah, let's just end this fucking shit off and go with the Saints, baby.
Yeah, I like the Saints. I like the Panthers' offense. I've been talking about them a lot this year. There should be a lot of catch and run, a lot of yards after the catch in this game with a lot of dump-offs to Kamara and McCaffrey, 2 of the most electric receiving running backs in the NFL. But at the end of the day, we got to stick with Drew Brees, only -6.5. Yeah, Drew Brees wins most of his games by a touchdown. He should be able to do it against the Panthers, like I said, to lock up that first-round bye. And we both like the over on the 52, and that is every single game, not only from Saturday, not only from Sunday, but Monday night as well, as the Oakland Raiders will be taking on the Bengals, the San Francisco 49ers will be taking on the Seattle Seahawks. We got the absolutely prime time matchup, America's game of the week, a potential AFC Super Bowl preview between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots. Before we move on to Sunday night football, the Eagles versus the Rams, and Monday night, the Saints versus the Panthers. Like we said, that is every single game by the point spread, against the spread, over, under, upsets, money lines, locks of the week, teaser week, baby. Is it about that time of the year? Might have to hit some teasers and some money lines this week. It wasn't the best lines, but you know, we're going to come back every single week to discuss the lines and the best bets no matter what, only right here on the Straight Cash Podcast, baby. So thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. Of course, thank you for listening, taking the time out of your day, out of your weekend, because hey, we all just want to win some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days, baby. So once again, thank you for listening. You can follow us on Instagram, social media, Twitter, MySpace, Friendster, AOL, Instant Chat, whatever the hell you're using these days, at Bay's Golden Days. Check out our website, bgdsports.com. That's how you get all the instant podcasts and news about everything we're doing right here on the Bay's Golden Days Network, baby, where we're going to have more Straight Cash Podcasts for the rest of the season. And we'll be back for the Super Bowl and playoffs as well. We got maybe an NBA podcast coming out with the Christmas season coming around the corner. We got UFC podcast coming out. I'm going to have you the full Raiders recap. I know some people wanted a full hour of me ranting on the Raiders win over the Steelers this week, but don't worry. I'm going to go ahead and put together the whole entire Raiders end of the year wrap-up podcast because, like I said, I only saw them winning one or two more games this year. Hey, maybe we'll have a third in the last home game in Oakland, December 24th, Christmas Eve. And the Bay's Golden Days is going to be there again. Breaking news, baby. The last two games in Oakland, I'll be at both of them. Was there for the Steelers. Now I'm going with the fam for the Broncos Christmas Eve. It's a little tradition, and we'll see what happened. Pay respect. Not to you, Mark Davis. Go fuck yourself because you traded Amari Cooper and Akilah Mack. But, hey, Raider Nation, we're going to stay worldwide, and we'll be back just like we always are right here on the Bay's Golden Days, baby. You know what it is.
Golden. 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 Golden.
Stay gold, pony boy.